It's no longer getting healthy because I should. It's getting healthy because, you know, I'm trying to become fit for fatherhood, of fit physically and mentally and spiritually and emotionally. It's not I need to do this just because I should. It's now I need to do this so I can be the stable father, the stable husband, the stable partner, the stable dog dad. You know, it's helped provide a lot of clarity.
Kia ora, friends. Tai kaho. Welcome back to The Wilderness Within. I'm your host, Kai, and today's episode is another special one. Recorded a little over 2 years ago with my dear friend and brother, Scott Hansen. We caught up in his home in Albuquerque, New Mexico, right after his baby shower, as he and his wife, Indy, were about 6 or 7 weeks from welcoming twins. That's right, twins. And oh yeah, I had some questions. This is one of those conversations that's less about answers and more about witnessing a man in the middle of becoming a better husband, a father, a more grounded human, and an artist creating his craft amidst the chaos of renovation projects and parenthood preparations. We look back at where our friendship started in 2015 in the foothills of the Himalayas. Volunteering after the earthquake in Nepal. Scott shares how that experience cracked him open, gave him a vision for a different kind of life in community, and planted seeds that would eventually lead him back to ancestral land in New Mexico. Since this recording, Scott and Indy have indeed given birth to their daughter and son. And all of the music on this episode are specifically chosen because they are written and performed by Scott himself. And indeed, half of the tracks of this podcast are created by Scott. Thank you so much, brother. I found out that he used to work at a daycare. That's right. The man had more diaper changing experiences before 21 than most dads get in a lifetime. So whether you're a parent, a creative, a community builder, or just someone like me figuring out how to follow the intuitive gut feeling, I have a feeling you'll find something in this wilderness within for you. Thanks for being here. Glad we're here, Scott, doing this.
Yeah, man, me too.
Today,
April 8th, 2023. Yeah.
We're live. Can you share with me, with us, where we currently are physically?
Yeah, we are sitting in my library in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and just wrapped up our baby shower.
Yes.
For our first babies. And
notice he said babies,
birth of our twins is expected in 6 to 7 weeks. So exciting and terrifying and thrilling and overwhelming.
If you can actually condense it to 4 adjectives, you would choose those.
I think so. Yeah. I keep coming back to them. So
yeah,
I think I would.
You've probably given that some good thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like equally thrilling as it is terrifying.
Yeah.
And you know, that's, yeah, I think I've come back to them several times now. I've noticed myself use those a lot today, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with them.
Let's do it. And if more sensations and feelings and thoughts come up, feel free to share.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've had some time to process. We're 30 weeks along, so.
Yeah.
7 months of thinking about what this means. And
that's right.
Yeah.
But look, this is intentional. It's very intentional. You and Indy. Your lovely wife.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who I got to meet just over a year and a half ago.
Yeah. Yeah, you met her wedding weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she'd been hearing of you for years. And then...
She and I even collaborated without your knowing.
Oh, yeah. We had that photo book
of all your work. It's pretty cheeky.
Yeah. Pretty sneaky on both your parts.
It was a really good DM I received.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite gifts I've ever received, too, is that book that she put together of all your work.
Yeah.
Oh, I walked in 2 nights ago and saw it on your shelf. And
it's proud display.
It just made me so happy to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, here
she chose the same photo for the cover that I did back in 2015-16 when I was fundraising for my second trip.
Yeah.
I made a photo book.
It's a good one for it. I was there that night. It was taken.
Yes.
That was fun. Yeah. But yeah, here we are.
Which brings us back to the origins of our friendship.
8 years ago now?
Coming up to 8 years.
Pretty crazy.
On the other side of the world. In those mountains called, you heard of the Himalayas?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. Tell me about, if you may, like a concise version of what led you there.
I was working in the Bay Area, having just graduated with an engineering degree. And during my degree, I wanted to be, you know, helping people, using my knowledge and skills to help people. And I came out of school and was building what we called core and shell, what I not so affectionately referred to as empty buildings for nobody. Just speculative buildings for real estate developers. About a year after getting out of school, I realized there had to be something more.
Mm-hmm.
And
you did this for about a year.
About a year out of school.
This is in the Bay Area of California.
Yep. And decided I needed something that was a little bit more impactful and would feed my soul a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually found out about the chance to go to Nepal at Lightning in a Bottle Music Festival, mm-hmm. which my buddy Skyler dragged me to kind of against my will. I said I didn't want to go. I didn't like the music, any of that stuff. And something in me was just like, you should take him up on this. And so I went into it with the mentality of just say yes this weekend. And I found out about this opportunity. It lined up with a project finishing and a lease ending. And all signs pointed to the fact that I could actually make it happen to go volunteer to help after this earthquake. And so I went with the intention of being there for 10 weeks in Nepal.
Mm-hmm.
And about 10 hours into being in Nepal, I realized there was something special going on. A really cool collection of brain power and open hearts and skills. And I had a feeling I wasn't going to be there for just 10 weeks. And then I got to Conscious Impact's camp where we met.
Yes.
And pretty quickly decided I didn't want to leave until I had to. And so I ended up being there for about a year.
Yes.
Just shy of a year.
Yeah.
Quit my job. Had to go back and put things in storage at one point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was out there for just shy of a year instead of 10 weeks.
Yeah.
The desire to help turned into the ability to be working directly alongside the people I was helping.
Yeah, and you were able to apply what you learned in school as well as through your job.
Yeah,
A place that was radically different from...
Absolutely.
Where you grew up, where you went to school, where you worked.
Yeah. And I, you know, it opened my heart, opened my mind, and I opened my eyes in a lot of ways too.
Yeah.
What was something
really unexpected that came through even in the first few days or weeks besides like, this is a good fit?
I'd never worked or lived in community before.
Mm.
And that was a really interesting aspect of things. And it was, you know, I was living in San Francisco, sharing an apartment with somebody that I knew from college, mm-hmm. and didn't know the people who I heard below us, didn't know our neighbors next door, didn't know anyone around us. I had my community from college that was, you know, short Uber or bus ride away. So we had our community there, but it was nothing like what we have going in, or what they still have going.
That's right.
You know,
yeah, living. It has shifted, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah, it has shifted immensely. I'm excited to go back.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was just eye-opening to see what people can do when they're working collaboratively and living intentionally and mm-hmm. in community. And yeah, it made it hard to even picture the prospect of going back. And that was part of how I knew I couldn't do it. Is having seen that, I knew I couldn't go back and just get an apartment and, you know, move in to strangers and live next to people I didn't know and never would know. And yeah, that was a big eye-opening thing for me. And then just to, you know, be in a community that just experienced disaster. Everyone lost their homes and some people lost lives and livestock and
yes.
their livelihood, and we're still so generous and so giving and loving. I reflected on the difference of what that would look like in San Francisco if tragedy were to strike. And I couldn't picture what that would look like. And I also couldn't picture myself leaving and going back to San Francisco. So I followed my heart and I followed my gut. And that's been a recurring theme in life. That's how I chose where I went to school. I just got a gut feeling and felt it in my heart that that's where I needed to go.
Yeah.
Didn't know anything about the area. Didn't know anything about the school, really. I was just on a tour of it and felt it and started looking into it more. I was like, all right, they have what I want to study. There's, you know, I'm close to the city. I'm close to the ocean. I can go surf. You know, it's, I looked into it afterwards, but my gut check was, you know, immediate. And I looked in, I did the research afterwards, but I followed my gut. Yeah, with Nepal, it was the same thing.
You have a history of doing that before and after that.
Yeah, pretty much my whole life. I mean, that's how we're in New Mexico. It's just a gut feeling. And everything has unfolded beautifully since then. And
just like the other night, and also a couple years ago when you shared with me for the first time, the fact that some of your ancestors used to live in this greater region.
Oh, yeah. Not even just the greater region, like where our property in Taos is. Like 6 generations ago, I have family that was born and raised there. Nowadays, it's a town of 500 people.
Right.
And so back then, it must have been 3 families.
Yeah.
And mine was one of them.
Yeah.
So my gut led me back home and hasn't led me astray yet. There's been some detours, but
yeah.
I had somebody the other day, I forget who it was, but I was talking about the detours I've taken, and they're saying, no, they were shortcuts. You know,
I like that.
It was really, it was a cool shift of view.
Well, detour is what we view as the path that we're supposed to take or we thought we would take.
Yeah.
But truly it's like, no, it's leading you to where you and I, we need to be.
Yeah. And something that I love about our friendship is that our paths just always cross in really cool, impactful times.
You know,
it was in Nepal and then shortly after we saw each other again up in the Bay Area.
That's right.
And I was kind of deciding if I, you know, make a move to Colorado because I told myself I wanted to, or if I kind of followed my gut and stayed in the Bay for a little while.
That's right.
Ended up doing that and living out of my van and meeting my now wife and future mother of my children because I did that, you know, followed my gut, just deciding to stay. And yeah, and then he shot our wedding. You know, he just keep showing up in these really exciting, impactful times in my life.
It seems to be every couple of years.
Yeah.
But I think what's really lovely, and I totally agree with everything you've said so far, is we've maintained a little light line of contact. Talking very regularly.
Yeah.
But sensing that feeling of connection.
For sure.
And I know that I've always been able to rely on you for an opinion or a perspective. And it's always a good time, whether we hang out indoors or outdoors.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got a nice blend of both.
I remember last time when I was in Albuquerque. It was September, just after your wedding. It was really, really hot, so we just stayed indoors.
Yeah.
But one of the things that stood out was just like, let's go into the, just something so simple, eating together, going to the climbing gym.
Yeah.
You know, it's so memorable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And watching you and Indy climb together and just helping each other out was like, oh, this freshly married couple, look at them on the wall.
Mm. Yeah. That was what? 7 or 19 months ago?
Yeah.
Coming up on 2 years ago now.
You know you're thinking like a dad, or a pregnant dad, when you're counting in weeks and months.
In months.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Week 30.
Yeah, no, honestly. Yeah. Here we are.
Gosh, I'm still in awe. You know, I said this when I came here 48 hours ago. I think like on the dot 48 hours ago.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh. Yeah. And now like walking into your house, it's surreal. And I'm just so thrilled and proud. It's like a mixture of a lot of different sensations because it's not something that I could do or can envision doing. But here you are like doing so much more than I could ever fathom. Supporting yourself, you know, being in a healthier emotional, physical state than I've seen you in the past.
Yeah.
You know, you're two really fun, rambunctious dogs. One of them.
One's rambunctious.
Yeah, just we know
a
which.
Bird.
We won't call it names.
Yeah.
Look at him.
He just throws a hand up there.
Yeah. Just a little high five.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you got the kids coming. I love that we decided to throw in a little session and see how it flows.
Yeah, because, me too.
This is the moment before you become a father.
Yeah, it's pretty pivotal. The next couple of weeks here are pretty pivotal. I mean, we knew we wanted to try having kids. We didn't expect to succeed the first try. And so I was really starting to just wrap my head around what that would mean as far as changes necessary in me, changes necessary in our life, in our home, in our community, you know, the need to have people to lean on in a city that we don't really have a big network in.
Yeah.
And, you know, 7 months ago, we just kind of, it all changed. And 6 months ago, we found out. And so it's been kind of rapid changes necessary and preparations. But, you know, we've come a long way. We have our home ready for the kids. Mm-hmm. We have our network built. We have friends now that have kids of their own.
Yeah.
You know, it was fun getting to hold babies at the baby shower today.
Yeah, that was really special to witness.
Yeah.
Your new and kind of existing community coming together.
Yeah.
To celebrate with you, to shower you, no pun intended, with gifts and love, the presents. Mm-hmm. It's really something. I mean, if this is what you and Indy can do in the relatively short time you've been in Albuquerque, you know, whether or not you stay here, wherever you go in the future, it's like, it's spectacular what's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's been feeling less daunting, especially after today, you know, seeing the people that showed up and from the different walks of our lives that they're from. You know,
yes.
Most of it was from the Burning Man and Meow Wolf art community, and which makes sense with us. You know, we met in the festival world. That's kind of our home base, even though we've kind of grown out of it for now in the last couple of years, but it's still kind of who we are.
But the mindset, right?
Yeah.
And the foundation.
It's at the root of who we are. And so it's just nice to have that taken shape after years of just kind of feeling like we were here by ourselves. And, you know, because I'm coming up on, I guess, I just passed 2.5 years back in New Mexico.
Yeah.
I was in the thick of COVID. It was hard to get out and meet people. And so
it was an interesting time because I saw you in the middle of COVID in Portland, Oregon, and you were in definitely a, I would say, a darker place.
Yeah, I was having a tough time. I was up there solo.
Yeah, away from Indy.
Yeah, away from my fiance, and it was a hard time for everybody. You know, I won't make it about, you know, it was hard for me. It was a hard time. But yeah, now we're here in our house. We've got a beautiful home. It's coming together, starting to feel like ours. Life has taken some really amazing turns. Mm-hmm. Feeling really blessed in a lot of ways, and the, you know, the deadline of fatherhood in a couple of weeks has really increased the pace on some of the changes I've been trying to make. You know, it's no longer getting healthy because I should. It's getting healthy because, you know, I'm trying to become fit for fatherhood, of fit physically and mentally and spiritually and emotionally. It's not, I need to do this just because I should. It's now I need to do this so I can be the stable father, the stable husband, the stable partner, the stable dog dad. You know, it's helped provide a lot of clarity for things that I was just thinking I should do just because I should. I know it's good for me, so I should. But that didn't make it easy to do. Whereas fatherhood, it's, you know, the deadline of mid-May sometime has really made it easier in some senses and scary in others. But it's really been kind of the kick in the butt that I needed, I think. And so
this is a beautiful segue, and thank you for bringing it up. I'd love for you to elaborate more on some of these personal challenges you've had in the months that have come, where you know you're going to become a father, and you've had to begin mentally prepare and physically change certain, maybe like bad habits or pick up new ways of being. And so I'm curious if you can share maybe some new practices you've integrated, some obstacles you've had to overcome, and just kind of step up as a man, as a husband, as a partner, as a future dad.
I'd say as far as like new practices I'm picking up, there hasn't been anything new. It's things that I've been doing. Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of doing them with more regularity now, or more frequency.
There's a certain discipline that you're...
There's a certain discipline. It's not as frequently as I'd like to. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to avoid saying as frequently as I should, you know, with meditating and working out. Let's not shit ourselves. Yeah, I'm not going to shit all over myself, but I'm noticing now that instead of, you know, something stressing me out, I'm going to go get a beer or, you know, go have a smoke. It's like, all right, first line of defense is let's make time to move a little bit and get some, you know, exercise in or stretching. And, you know, my mind is just, since I was a kid, I overthink. Mm. And I'm grateful for the brain I have and the mind I have. It's gotten me to where I am. But at the same time, there are times when I'm just like, no, shush. And so, you know, meditation has become another tool that I'm using more frequently than I have in the past. Because in the past, it was like, oh, I should meditate. And now it's one of the things I go to just to kind of quiet myself down, to watch my own mind work and see what's going on beyond just, oh, I'm stressed out. It's, you know, it's, just kind of quieting myself down to be able to see behind everything and see what's really at play. And there's a lot of really complicated things going on right now. You know, it's expecting twins. It's the dynamic with my wife right now, who's going through the struggle of growing two humans inside of her, while also, you know, she just stopped working about a month ago. So she was working full time.
Yeah.
Leading a full life while also growing humans. And, you know, while I'm trying to work on my habits of not drinking and not smoking, she didn't have that as an option to fall back on. You know, she couldn't give in on it and oh, well, I had a smoke today. She's been rock solid since even before we found out, since we started trying, actually. She's been rock solid. And so,
wow.
Just the dynamic that's shifted there. And, you know,
there's an elevation of like both of you being devoted.
Yeah. Oh, totally. And like in times where I'm faltering, she's kind of the one that keeps me on track, you know, and she's been really sweet about being forgiving when I do slip up and, you know, have a drink or have a smoke or something. But something clicked in the last like 6 weeks or so where it's been a lot easier just to kind of lock in on what I want to be doing moving forward and not doing moving forward. More importantly, I've been writing myself little haikus as a practice. I started doing that in COVID, actually. I would write myself a haiku every morning as part of my meditation. And I've just been leaving like little haikus on sticky notes around my house so I can find them for myself. It's like leaving little nuggets of wisdom, like little breadcrumbs for myself to get myself back on the trail, back on the path.
How powerful is that? Because when you read it, you're like, this came from me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it came a lot of the times. Like, I don't sit down and say, okay, it's time to write this haiku. It'll just kind of come through me. A lot of my best art and writing and music has been that way, you know, and it's that's kind of why I've been forgiving with myself of not playing much music lately. It's I don't like forcing it. And I haven't, you know, I've wanted to. The desire to write music has been there, but I've been so busy with remodeling a room in our house to be a nursery and building out a bathroom for her that's right next to our bedroom. And you know, when I have a quiet moment, my go-to has either been to read or to play video games, and has completely shut my brain off. You know, I haven't had the ability to flip the switch and be like, all right, let's create music now. But these little haikus are easy, and they're like, yeah, like little breadcrumbs, just kind of leaving a path for me back to myself. So it's I have them on my computer when I'm working. I just look back at and see them. And
would you have one that you can recall from memory to share?
From memory, yeah. So one of them is "Do it for our kids. They deserve a healthy dad. Live for the long term." And so that one's been really helpful. I wrote that one when I was like really getting close to kicking my habit with smoking. You know, it was a couple weeks, I think, before I like actually did it. But, you know, it's just kind of been helpful, like reframing the, oh, I want to have a smoke now versus, well, I want to be 90 and have, you know, 60 years with my kids and not be the dad who's just hacking up along, or, you know, it has to, just kind of thinking more long term towards the longevity.
Truly. You know what image I have right now in my head, Scotty?
What's that?
us in 2015, 2016 on those terraces where we lived.
Yeah.
And we're hanging out like after work.
Yeah.
So to speak. And you're like kicking it in your hammock.
Yeah.
Rolling up a little something something.
A little smoky treat.
And passing it around to all of us.
Yeah. You know, and I've had those beautiful memories, those times. Like, it served me at that time.
Exactly.
And, yeah. You know, I just kind of had to look back on the, I hate to say it, like, decade plus that I was doing it pretty right. frequently. And I was like, I don't need to do this for another decade, you know?
You
and
really don't.
I just turned 30 last year, and I was like, I don't want to bring this habit into another decade of my life, you right. know?
Yeah. Well, we know the facts, right? They yeah. are, they're great for instant gratification.
Yeah, you know, it's yeah, that instant
it's,
little like...
It's a feel good.
You know, I started getting this desire to stop, overwhelmingly, like overwhelming the desire to smoke. It was this desire to be like, I want to be done with this. And so...
Yeah, good on you.
Yeah, and so another one that, that's been really been helpful is...
Yeah.
Let me think I have it. It's love yourself enough to prioritize healing. Self-love means good health. And I was
wow.
like, for a while, I was like, oh, I'm going to go out there and take some deep breaths. And I'm like, yeah, but those deep breaths are like cancerous chemicals. You know, like,
who are you fooling?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're giving into this thing. And so it's just yeah. been kind of like, self-love means good health.
Yeah. You can get high off good old oxygen.
I've been so clear-headed lately and really present and just able to enjoy moments where it's something as simple as, you know, making an ice cream sundae and watching a stupid episode of Survivor or something yeah. like that. And I just get more out of moments like that now that I'm not like, huh, when's my next smoke? Or, you know, there's just, I'm able to just really be present and content. And
I feel that. Yeah. When I interact with you, because yeah. there's large chunks of time between when we interact, you know, because we don't talk on the phone very frequently. Yeah. It's usually through text. So I don't hear the, you know, the cadence or the use of certain vocabulary in your voice. When I see this time, and of course, I've seen you like, oh, there's a minor level of like anxiety and stress because there's a lot of people coming and yeah. there's like, you know, babies on the way. But overall, I would say, just like what I said, like the cadence and like your tone and your demeanor, it's just so much more solid and grounded.
Yeah.
That I think if I am not looking at your physical form and I don't recognize the voice, I would be like, this is a very different person than yeah. the person I met 8 years ago.
Oh, I'm definitely a different yeah. person. I mean, what are like skin and cells regenerate every 7 years?
I was about to say that same thing.
And so it's like I'm physically a different person, but yeah. just mindset. I was like, I wasn't hot-headed, but I was much faster to anger and frustration. And, you know, Nepal is really where I started meditating. And
yeah.
where I really like got into yoga and that element of being good to myself. I danced with psychedelics before then, but since then it's like really using them intentionally as more of like a plant medicine. And I've learned a lot from those experiences of, you know, not just being an 18-year-old doing it because it makes me think things are funny. You know, it's just to, you know, use them for a power beyond the, just beyond something that's fun to do. You know, there's been a lot of growth through experiences, you know, like being in Nepal was just facing people that had just lost everything and yeah. were still the most gracious, most generous.
That's right. Welcoming us into their homes yeah. for a tea, for a meal even.
For meals. Yeah, exactly. And so just life experience, you know, I'm not a 20, I think I was 23 when I met you. And I was 22. I turned 23 after I'd met you. So yeah, like I'm just a different human, but also just, you know, from even when you saw me last, a year yeah. ago, last July.
At our dear friend's wedding.
Yeah, I saw you in Ohio last summer. Uh-huh. And, you know, even then, I do feel like a different human. And I think that the impending shift to being a father has really had a lot to play in that. And I'm grateful for that because it was, a lot of them were changes that were long overdue. And I've, I won't use the word forced, but I've been kind of like pushed into making that shift at a faster pace than I may have otherwise. And I'm grateful for that. And I do feel a lot healthier. I feel, yeah, like I said, more clear-headed, more present, more driven. Yeah, you've seen me in some really cool pivotal moments.
Truly. Like
my wedding weekend, I was a ball of stress. You know, it was a wedding. I was present to have a beautiful time. And, you know, I do feel like I was really present the whole time and just looking around at this group of people that I love and people who love us and were there for us. And,
yeah.
But I do think it was like I was less steady. And, you know, I don't even have the kids yet. I'm feeling like a dad already. I'm like looking at things in a longer lens of like,
yeah,
you know, I'm not trying to figure out what I'm doing next month. It's, you know, planning in a few years where we want to put the kids into school.
Unlike a lot of podcast and long form content out there, this podcast is not sponsored by anybody but myself and the Patreon community behind it. This little humble community behind me has been contributing for years, helping me to launch my newsletter and more recently this podcast, and has made it ad-free and completely independent since its beginning. And I intend on doing so unless I find a very value and ethics aligned sponsor. So until then, the best way to be a contributor to this publication is to sign up and be a contributor yourself. If you have a few extra bucks to throw this way every month, every year, I absolutely appreciate it. Head over to patreon.com/subtledream to read more and consider. Supporting patrons also get a lot of behind the scenes and special content and footage, early releases that I don't post anywhere else. So there's lots of incentives to be a contributor besides this particular podcast. Thank you so much for your support. Now, onwards with my conversation with Scott.
One of the first things we talked about the night I arrived was talking about kind of future visions and like school districts and possibilities and like what kind of environment you and Indy want to be in, where you want the kids to grow up in, what kind of access to resources and opportunities they would have, you know? And it's like, wow, you had to pull the long lens analogy on me, which is great.
Yeah.
But it's like, I kind of see it as 2021, the year you married, was like the year you were ready to commit fully.
Yeah.
You were like chips all in.
Totally.
And then last year you were like, okay, now that I'm all in, I'm here with my lovely wife that I'm committed to. How do we not just build our life, but like how do we further deepen what we both want out of this one life we're given?
Totally.
And now you're like at the cusp of something that, and I'm hearing this theme over and over again, which is you're thinking so much more beyond your own self, you know? And as you shared, like when you saw the people we got to help out and work with in Nepal was like the really, like the beginning of like, oh, selfless service.
Yeah.
What does that look like? What does that entail? What does that bring forth in a way that transcends your job title, your salary, your credentials and titles? And it's like, what is the aspect in which you find your peace and position in a world that works for you?
I had a taste of selfless service. I mean, I have a hard time saying selfless service because like you get
selfless.
Something out of it.
It's true. Know? I like that. Thank you.
It does like really benefit me. I feel good while I'm doing it.
I have to say, I've been pondering about that, and
maybe
I need to find a different way to talk about it.
It's not completely selfish. Like, it is focused on somebody else, but I get something out of it. You know?
The dopamine.
You get the dopamine, the serotonin hit.
Yeah, let's be real here. I didn't go myself for selfless service. We write that.
But it's like you also get this beautiful life experience and lifelong friendships and stuff. It's not completely, it doesn't suck.
I didn't expect this, for example.
Yeah.
But surely I'm really glad I went for, quote, selfless service and got friendships like this.
I think selfless service is like you're dealing with something that really sucks. But you're doing it for somebody else. Like living in Nepal on the hills and building every day with beautiful people, like
and eating
from
good
all
food.
Over the world, and cooking amazing food together and meeting fantastic people and having a global network. Like, that's hard to call that completely selfless. I had a taste of, you know, working on a project for other people my senior year of college, like our senior engineering project, my buddy and I did a water system for a boys' orphanage in Rwanda. They had reached out to our school, and somebody had said, oh, they do engineering projects, and maybe you can get some help with the water distribution there. And so we finished early on our design, and we were able to fundraise and actually go and build it. And so it was around the year mark of that where I was like, what am I doing after graduation? Like,
yeah,
I'm building an empty building for nobody. And so that's kind of what put the thing in my head. It's like the last year, a lot has shifted. And so, yeah, you know, it's again at the point where it's like, I'm going to be of service, and I'm the one bringing home money for our family. You know, I'm the one who's doing all the heavy lifting, literally, for, you know, moving things around the house and building, and I'm in a providing role now. And it's been beautiful to just kind of get that opportunity again, you know, just to take myself out of the main view of like, what do I get out of this? It's, you know, what I get out of this is something I've wanted for a long time. I get maybe to be a dad.
Maybe longer than you thought.
Yeah. I found a really cool journal entry from Nepal.
Oh, yeah?
That was like talking about how much I wanted to be a dad.
And
I was looking at, it was when I was in Kathmandu getting ready to leave to come home. And so this must have been after the whole visa to India thing debacle. Yeah. Being told on short notice I had to leave Nepal because my visa was expiring and I couldn't get one to India. And I found it recently, and I was just like, I'm so excited for that. And, you know, maybe when I go back to the States, I'll meet somebody, but like, I don't think I'm ready yet. I think I need some time to like figure things out and
to really process what the previous almost a year has meant to you.
Yeah. Yeah. And just, you know, as a man, I'm not there yet. I'm going through my own stuff, processing my own things. And I don't think we're ever fully ready for huge shifts like this. But this time around, like when I was reading that, I actually teared up and I was like, I've made myself proud. Because I do think that in those, gosh, 5 years since I wrote that, mm-hmm. or no, 6 years. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I did the math wrong. I'm 31. I told you I was 30 earlier.
So for the record, yeah. Folks.
Well, you were like back in 2021. I was like, huh, that's 2 years ago. Okay, that's not right.
Welcome to the 30s club where we stop counting.
Yeah.
I said my age wrong the other day to someone too.
I've been having to do math since I was like 25 when people ask. Because I've never really felt my age. I'm starting to feel my age now.
Yeah, I love that you're like a top-notch engineer and something as simple as arithmetic of your own age.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like we're all human.
Yeah. I was like, I turned 31 at the end of last year. So yeah, I definitely, I don't know what you said that reminded me of it.
Okay.
I think it was talking about the wedding. I was like, huh, 2021, okay.
Time is not linear.
That was 2 years ago. Like,
time is not linear.
It's not real right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a cool thing to find, you know, from my own brain, just journaling. That's a practice that I do. That's one that I will say I should be doing more of because I really enjoy going back and reading stuff.
How about this? May this be a reminder that you shall pick it up again.
By the time this airs, I hope I have a good journaling practice.
Oh, so it's on me to like either hurry it up or...
No, you can take your time and give me some time to get it figured out.
Yeah, I do strongly believe the likelihood that this will air before the twins are born is extremely low.
Yeah, no, that's all right. What's crazy is that we've got 6 or 7 weeks till that happens. I don't expect you to get this launched in a couple of weeks.
And I've got 7 beautiful conversations before you to get
nice.
To.
Nice. Yeah. All right. Yeah, you got to warm it up and get the audience.
I always tell this to my friends. If anything, this serves as a beautiful, intentional practice where myself and a dear friend of mine that I choose very, like, handpicked, at least our conversation deepens, that I get to know more about you, whether it's your state of mind at that particular time or more like kind of gaps in the past that would be filled up because it's like, oh, like I didn't know about the Rwanda water project, but oh, that makes so much sense.
This,
you know, because your life
college and before that is very unknown to me.
Yeah.
Unless I talk with maybe like your sister or your mom, your dad, you know, some of your old friends you've known since you're a child. Like it's like there's a lot of gaps.
For sure.
So it's just like always lovely to like get to know you more and other people more.
Well, and I appreciate our friendship because like we don't just kind of stay on the what you've been up to, you know, oh yeah, just this and like sending each other memes. All those conversations and friends, like relationships are great, but like, you know, we always tend to just like go deeper and like, you know, I feel like I know you in a different way than I know people that I've known my whole life. We have the ability to like get real with things and get vulnerable. And
I feel that way too.
Some of the details of like, oh, where did you grow up? Like, you know, some of those things aren't fully fleshed out, but we've got a different, like deeper bond on that.
I do know your flavor of beer, so.
Yeah, that's true. The hoppier, the better.
I actually this is a good opportunity for me to thank you. I totally hear what you're saying, and I'm absolutely on the same page. I actually want to thank you because when I was going through a rough patch with my partner, I reached out to you and maybe like two or three guy friends about men's work.
Yeah.
This was just a few months ago.
Yeah, this was pretty recently.
Yeah, and although that wasn't like a particular solution per se that came out from it, simply like the fact that I feel very comfortable to reach out to you and tell you that, hey, I'm experiencing this like rough patch right now. Like I feel kind of like I don't have the tools to deal with this problem within myself and with my partner. Like I kind of need some sort of help.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm very learning to be more comfortable reaching out for help, especially from fellow men.
For sure.
Especially you, who I've seen just like put in some really gnarly work, you know?
No, it hasn't been easy, but I appreciated that you reached out because like people I've known my whole life, I really struggled to get anything more than, oh yeah, things are good. Or, oh yeah, it's kind of weird, but we'll figure it out. You know, and so I really appreciate when another man is like, hey, I know you've sat in men's circles. I know you've, you know, other various modalities of healing or self-work or, you know, development. You feel comfortable coming to me and looking for resources. I really appreciated that.
And, yeah. And of course, it turns out we do listen to at least one or two podcasts that talks about inner work and men's work. And
oh, yeah.
I have always found like a sense of, just a deeper connection because it's like, Scott's done it. You know, he's continuously going through it.
Yeah.
And that's something that I've always admired.
Thank you. It's always been, I mean, again, it's not like I'm not getting anything out of it. You know, it's like very much, this has been a huge tool for me. It's like, we have a men's group here that meets super infrequently, but it's one of those things where like, once you've sat in a circle with somebody like that, you know, it kind of opens the door for more honest, vulnerable, raw conversations. You know, people that I don't know that well, I see them, I'm like, how's it going with your, you know, such and such? Or like even just, you know, a simple, how's it going? And they feel comfortable like opening beyond just, things have been better. You know, it's like, it's been such a huge tool. And I don't have like a regularly meeting group here, but, you know, it's been a really helpful tool for me. And so anytime somebody reaches out about that, I'm like more than happy to send the resources I do have, the podcasts. And, I mean, that's pretty much the main source of wisdom right now, minus the occasional men's group that we put together here. But
well, that's what's accessible.
It's super accessible. And it's, you know, when you find ones that really resonate, it's nice just to kind of have like a familiarity with the people and the messaging. And
I look forward to the day that I can go beyond just like good reading material and good listening material and hearing what others are saying, which, you know, like thank goodness for the internet to allow that to be basically freely distributed across multiple platforms. But I look forward to being in a space where I can meet up with people physically more regularly.
Yeah.
Not just a one-off thing as I did.
Yeah. You know, and like I've tried we did a couple of Zoom men's groups and it's helpful, you know, through the Rising Man movement. Like I think I've shared some other podcasts with you. I joined a men's group. I did a course with them over the course of a couple months last year that met weekly, and It was certainly helpful, you know, having one-on-one time with Jetty, the guy who runs the podcast, you know, before other people joined the call. I always join a little early to see if I can get him one-on-one.
Nice.
But even just having, you know, six or seven other guys, you know, was helpful. Having done that, and, you know, even just with my own men's group that we have, like, we did a couple Zoom calls, and there's just something different about, you know, having the group of guys around you. It makes it a little bit easier to get raw and to get real. You know, not have to worry who's hearing on somebody's computer, who's overhearing what you're sharing. And
yeah,
it's something that we don't get much of these days. And as men, we don't really have the tools given to us as we're raised.
Most of us, for sure.
Most of us, yeah. And so that's been a huge thing, as I'm like, I'm going to be raising a son, and I'm going to be raising a daughter.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be doing them both at the same time, which has been a little bit intimidating, because I want to do a good job and do it differently than most people have been raised. And
yeah,
it's a tall order. It's a big responsibility.
No doubt about it.
To be shaping someone's future.
I trust that you and Indy will do an excellent job.
Yeah. Thank you.
People in your biological family and chosen family will come forward in moments that they'll need, the kids, and you'll need to be a little extra pillars of support.
Yeah.
Yeah, like your sister just said something really beautiful, fun and beautiful. And it's like, I think we're going to spend weekends in Albuquerque.
Yeah,
she's so ready to be an aunt. I had a side chat with Aubrey. She's just so ready to be an auntie.
Yeah, I mean, look at what she did for the baby shower. The house looks amazing. It's just so thoughtful and intentional. And like, if this is the love they're surrounded by before they're even here. You know,
it was
really heartwarming to look around today and be like, some of these people I didn't even know 6 months ago.
That's right.
And now they're here at a baby shower. I can't imagine our life here without them in it.
We're sitting in your library, in your living room, looking at painted onesies.
Yeah.
And painted little socks.
Yeah, little tiny baby socks.
And there's a flower, a plant, Grateful Dead, Sacred Geometry.
Little
Burning
lizard.
Man's.
Yeah, some Burning Man socks, little jester socks, sun hands.
It's so cute. It's like indicative of, who you surround yourself with. Yeah, I think with that level of intentionality, I know it'll be challenging, but that's what makes life interesting and ever growth inducing.
Yeah, and I think the blessing of twins has been that even before they're born, we're very aware that this is the only time we're going to do this. We don't want to do this again. Don't want to end up getting twins again. You know, try for one more and I'd be like, oh, and now we have four kids.
Oh, God.
So like, we're done after this. And so going into it, we know that. And this is our one chance to have each little phase. And it was cool today to have a 2-week-old baby and a 2-month-old baby and 6-month-old baby.
Yeah.
And know that we're going to have each of those phases. And we're already aware of, like, we don't want to wish that away. We don't want to, oh, I'm so tired of waking up in the middle of the night. Can't they just be two already? Because each of those babies today was amazing in their own way.
That's right.
The phase that they were in was so cool to see.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited to see that in our own kids.
Yeah, little developmental stages.
Yeah.
And as you stay friends with these new fresh parents, and their kids, of course, continue to grow, you have this like wisdom that they can drop on you fresh off the baby.
Yeah.
And they'll reach ages just before your kids will.
Totally.
And what a great resource.
Yeah.
To lean into each other. That's the tribe, village, community aspect that I see that's so absent in so much of, especially the Western world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I certainly would go to say that my sisters didn't have this strong of a network around them, even though they're surrounded by technically more humans in the greater Los Angeles area.
Yeah.
But the ironic truth was that it was quite the opposite. It was like pretty isolated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're kind of left to yourself and the grind and the hustle that is predominantly in that region.
Yeah.
You know, this is something that's like the start of something so wonderful.
Well, it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier, where you're just like, they don't know the people on the other side of the wall from you. And like, as I was saying that, I kind of realized, like, you know, we're in the suburbs right now.
Yes.
I know the name of the woman next door. and the family across the street, I know their names. I don't know our other next door neighbor, you know? And so it's interesting to be surrounded by all these people that I don't really know, but yet in the city of Albuquerque, we have a really solid network that we can count on, which is really nice. Yeah, it's a blessing to be going into this with the mentality of we got one shot at this, you know, we're going to savor every stage. And when I was in college, do you remember Mo who married us, our officiant at our wedding?
Yes.
So I worked at a daycare when I was in college and she was the teacher, like the preschool teacher. And so I worked in her room most of the time, but I worked with babies all the way up through 5 years old.
Is that right?
Yeah, I worked there for about 4 years.
I know that you had that connection with Mo. I didn't realize it was a daycare where you handled kids and babies until up to five.
I guess I worked there for like 3.5 years.
It was that long, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I got it pretty much right in beginning of freshman year, and then partway through senior year, I was done there.
So you have an internship. You have an unfair advantage compared to most dads.
I've changed more diapers than even people that have kids. Because I was changing one, you know, get back out on the playground, and another one's ready for it. But
I love this. Yeah. So for those of you who are listening, those of you who are thinking about being a dad, work at a daycare.
Yeah, it was fantastic family planning for me as an 18 to 21 year old. I was like, nope, not ready for that. But it's been cool because I've had the amazing blessing of watching. You know, some of the kids that I was changing their diapers as 2 years old, I saw them when they were five.
Yeah.
You know, and so I had this really cool bond. I got to see their personality develop. And I think that's partly why I'm so thrilled to be a dad, is because we get to now watch that from the get-go and have it be our kids. You know, have the lessons that I was imparting on them and some of the books that we were given today. I know because I used to read them to kids at the daycare. And it's really exciting to be, you know, all that work I did is now going to come to fruition and hopefully, you know, benefit the kids. You know, I won't be freaking out because it's the first time I've had to deal with something. You know, I've seen some things. I've had to deal with some things.
In my time.
Yeah, back in my day. But yeah, it's been, you know, the 7.5 months that we've had, and I don't want to say it's 6.5 months that we've known, because we found out about 4 weeks in. You know, 6 months and some change, it's been just like this immense, immense shift in me. It's been really beautiful to experience, and I feel like I'm getting there on being ready. You know, a lot of growth has gone down. We'll talk again in a couple months.
No doubt.
Super sleep deprived and working full time still, but
we'll be like, Scott, the only time that you're available is when the twins are asleep at 2 a.m.
Yeah,
I'll be and like, then, I'll bring the mezcal,
and then the episode will get cut short because one of them wakes up and wakes the other one up. And
yeah, no joke. Just a few months ago, I was recording in Seattle with a new mom, a good friend of mine, and she's like, she's at nap, we can record now. She's like, we'll record so long as she's asleep. I go, fair.
And then the episode ends halfway through, just the mid-sentence. Now
we
baby
got,
crying.
We got 50, 55 minutes.
Oh, wow.
It was a lot longer than we thought.
That's a good nap for the little one.
We just, you know, we just like heard the I'm awake cry. And we just like laugh, go, well, all right. Thank you for doing this with
me. Yeah, pretty soon here, that'll be my life.
But, yeah. Hey, yeah. I can't even use the word happy. It doesn't cut it. I'm extraordinarily thrilled, and I really, truly enjoyed hearing all the little bits that have made me even more fizzed up about your life. It's almost as if I am in your body for a bit, feeling the sensations as you do.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's a shared, it's like a shared human experience.
Yeah, totally.
I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, glad to share it with you.
Yeah. I was going to say, before we wrap this up, it's been so, so beautiful and wonderful. Do you have any last thoughts that we haven't covered? Any like wisdom to drop? Anything maybe for your future self to hear? Because it's more about that. And, you know, just for the audience.
I have like a little, I've been keeping a note on my phone, or like one of those little reminders things.
Okay.
Just like wisdom nuggets.
Let's hear it.
This is one that I like woke up with.
Yeah.
So this is actually before the wedding. job I was working, I was just a stress ball.
Yeah,
you wake up with an anxiety attack and short of breath and stuff. And I wrote this one, I've kept with me, but it's, life is fluid and flexible. Don't stress, it'll all pan out. Listen to my intuition, I'll know when it's right. I'm a multifaceted being. It'll take time and practice to get fully integrated into myself. Be patient, but prioritize what you know to be best. And I come back to that every once in a while, you know, because like I feel like I lose the path pretty frequently. I feel like lately I've been pretty good about staying on it, but, you know, just to not get frustrated, things are happening for a reason, and just to prioritize what you know to be best has been the big one. And that's been really helpful. And so hopefully that helps somebody else. And when I listen back to it, hopefully this will help me too.
And with that, I give you Scott Hansen.
Yeah.
Dear friend, dear brother.
Yeah, I love you, brother. Thanks for having me
Appreciate
on.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, my first podcast.
May there be more.
Yeah, heck yeah. Cheers, man.
This is right here.
Yeah.
Man of the hour. This is, I just gotta shoot my behind the scenes.
So now, 2 years and some months later, their twins have just celebrated their second birthday. Scott and Indy have moved back to the East Coast, where Indy's family reside, to have more family support and to build a different community there. I'm really proud of Scott's journey, and I'm also really proud to say that when I moved to Aotearoa, New Zealand, I asked him to be part of my online men's group, to which he's accepted, and we've since had about a year and a half of online meetings and shares with 7-8 other of my closest guy friends on this planet. Scott's also gotten into running, has completely quit smoking and also put alcohol down, and he's just more focused and clear and healthy than ever, as he needs to be with 2 twins. Yeah, and this track is really special, and this ending track, because he recorded it and released it in the last few months, and it's called To Life, and it's released on Spotify under his music name, Scout Rockwell. So yeah, from learning about his past changing diapers at a daycare and writing haikus in his house to becoming a more devoted husband, a father to 2 kids, and just continuing the inner work and having real, raw conversations, sharing emotions and also joys. So I'm so proud and grateful to have him in my community globally, to call him a friend, a brother of 10 years now. Scott, if you're listening to this, love you, brother. Can't wait for our next online call and catch up. And to the rest of you, thank you again for listening. I hope this episode has brought value and beauty into your life. Until next time.
sense of who.